Welcome to the Fourth Age, a Wheel of Time podcast brought to you by DragonMount.com.
But he could, if he's tapping it from Moradin as opposed to doing it himself.
I think Samael was pretty buff.
I haven't really thought about that part of it, but I guess that would probably be true. I mean, that would be the most dramatic, to have them not fighting side by side, but instead of having two separate areas.
Rand has people around him that are really good generals. Matt is a good general. Ruark is, you know, really commands the IO really well.
I think so. I do think that Lon will survive the last battle.
Hi everyone, this is Ben, and welcome to the Fourth Age podcast. It is based upon The Wheel of Time, a fantasy series of which 11 books have been written by Robert Jordan, and book 12 is currently being written right now. I'm joined this week with Jason.
Hello everyone, this week we're going to talk about prophecies. We're going to skip our usual segments to dedicate more time to one of the largest topics of The Wheel of Time, and one of the things that makes Wheel of Time unique. Carrie's not with us this week, but she will be with us next week. Just an upfront warning, we are going to talk about spoilers right off the bat this week. Sorry to everyone that hasn't read the first part of the books, but the prophecies is a really big part of The Wheel of Time, and we're going to try and get through it as many prophecies as we can. There's four separate sections that we have in store for you this week. Most of what we're going to be using and getting our reference material from is, of course, encyclopedia-watt.org. It's encyclopaedia-wot.org. Like I said, that's where we get the reference material, especially for this episode. He does a great website, and he has so much information on all the prophecies, so we're going to get a lot of the info from there. The first thing that we're going to start with is probably one of the biggest prophecies and set of prophecies that are in the Wheel of Time, and it's the Kreathon prophecies, otherwise known as the prophecies of the dragon. The first part that I want to go through, and I'll just give a brief synopsis of the first thing that Ben and I will talk about. And this is going to be a quote. And it shall come to pass that when men made shall be shattered, and the shadow shall lie across the pattern of age, and the Dark One will once more lay his hand upon the world of man. Women shall weep, men quail, as the nations of the earth are rent like rotting cloth. Neither shall anything stand nor abide. What do you think about that one, Ben?
Well, I think this is one of them that it's really easy to see whenever it comes to pass, that men will be made shattered. It's absolutely indicative of what's happening in this time period in Wheel of Time, especially in the last few books. Whenever, especially in Knife of Dreams, he talked about how they were really having food shortages and how everybody was just sort of coming together, just really needing each other to just get food, which is tough. That people such as Tyr and Ilion, people that hated each other, have come together and are united under the dragon banner. That Rand is king of Ilion and conqueror of the stone, and that all of those, you know, old nationalities are really starting to mean less and less and less because they're uniting, getting ready for Tarmon guidance. So that's one that's pretty easy to see, and certainly wouldn't be much fun to live through.
No, and that's exactly it. I think mostly what that what the first part of this this particular part of the prophecy of the dragon basically is just setting up that when this comes, it's going to suck.
Yeah,
especially the last part where it says, "Neither shall anything stand nor abide." I think that just means that, you know what, nothing's really going to go right for anyone. Everything's going to go wrong. No one's going to be standing firm. Nothing's going to abide the way that the characters want things to go.
Yeah, we actually had a little discussion earlier in one of the podcasts about whether or not how Tarmon Gaiden would go, about whether or not the Dark One would be completely free from his bond, from his little prison, and if, you know, the last battle would be imprisoning him, or would the last battle be them trying to keep the Dark One from being imprisoned?
Right.
You remember that discussion?
I do.
Yeah, well, this is, like the wordage of this, it says, "The Dark One shall once more lay his hand upon the world of men." Didn't say he'd walk upon the world of man, so to me that indicates that he's going to be trying to break free of his prison, and his hand is going to be reaching out and, you know, doing all kinds of bad stuff. But that they will, you know, the purpose of Tarmogoyden will be to keep him in his prison. So maybe a little reading between the lines, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards either one. I think it would be, it definitely would be fun as a reader to, you know, read Rand actually fighting with the Dark One. As my theory keeps going, the Dark One as being the female Dark One. But you can listen to the previous podcast and you'll know my opinion on if the Dark One's a man or a woman. I really, really do think the Dark One is a woman, especially with the strength of the women in these books. What's next, Ben? What's the next prophecy that we
have? All right. Yet one shall be born to face the shadow, born once more as he was born before, and shall be born again, time without end. The dragon shall be reborn, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth at his rebirth. In sackcloth and ashes he doth clothe the people, and he shall break the world by his coming, tearing apart ties that bind. Like the unfettered dawn, he shall bind us, burn us, and shall the dragon reborn confront the shadow at the last battle, and his blood shall give us the light. Tears flow, O ye people of the world, weep for your salvation.
The wording in that, especially the last part, is something that we discuss both on our forums, and we get a lot of emails about it too. The part about his blood shall give us the light. There's actually a part in one of the prophecies that we're actually going to go through in a little bit that touches on that part of this prophecy a little bit more. So we'll skip that for right now. But what I want to do is go back a little bit to the beginning where the quote, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth at his rebirth. During the Great Hunt, and especially in the prequel novel, that scene where wailing and gnashing of teeth at his rebirth, I think it really is referring to the prophecy that Moiraine, if you're there, do you remember that part in the books, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whenever everybody was freaking out over the fact that he was just born, you know, how many people died. The Ommerlin Seat died after she found out about the prophecy of the lady up in the room giving the prophecy. I can't remember her name, who gave the foretelling. But, you know, how many people died, even whenever he was just a baby, in order to see him safe to fight the Shadow? I mean, it's... I like the wordage of the entire prophecy. You're being saved, but it makes you miserable that you're being saved. Weep for your salvation, you know? It sort of seems you would rejoice for your salvation. Yeah, we're being saved from the Dark One, yay! No, we're weeping because it's killing, you know, saving us from the Dark One is killing thousands and thousands of us, breaking up all our nations. So, yeah, very interesting language there.
There's another part of the prophecy of the dragon that doesn't reference specifically. And actually, in the later books, I believe it was Moiraine that says the prophecies of the dragon do not reference the Horn of Valyr. But there is a part in the prophecies, and this is a quote, and prophecy said it would only be found just in time for the last battle. I think people take for granted that they think it's the Horn of Valyr. But then there's a clue in later in the books that says it's not. What do you think? What do you think it could be if it's not the horn that's found just in time for the last battle?
Well, I know Carrie has the theory that that Rand is going to be off somewhere else during the last battle, and then he's going to show up right in time. So that very well could be referencing, if what I understand is what it's saying is, mm-hmm. It could be that the dragon could be off somewhere else and then show up just in time to fight the last battle.
Yeah, it could be that. You're right. It could be it referring to the dragon reborn specifically. I mean, he was found. It says just in time for the last battle, so it doesn't really put a time frame on it. Maybe he was found just in time for the last battle, and it's not very long in terms of years or
in terms
of the age
true.
Of the world that when he was actually found again, reborn.
Yeah, and that's about whenever he was found and really sort of came into his realization of being the Dragon Reborn was the time that all of the Forsaken started to break free. So that sounds to me like a good time to start a war whenever, you know, the bad guys are free and you've got one guy out there to stop it, which is Rand. He's the only one really working towards Tarmogoyden.
That's exactly right.
All right, moving on. We've got the next one that we have on our list here. I will read actually two small ones together, and we can talk about them. He will be the of the ancient blood and raised by the old blood. When the winds of Tarmogoyen scour the earth, he will face the shadow and bring forth light again in the world.
I think the first part of that, he will be of the ancient blood and raised by the old blood. That's pretty straightforward. I mean, he was of course, he's of the ancient blood, which should be referring to the IL, and raised by the old blood, which is referring to Manathrin, of course.
Completely agree. I also like this next part. Whenever the winds of Tarmogoyen scour the earth, he will face the shadow and bring forth the light again in the world. To me, I'm once again reading a lot into it, but I think it's still pretty clear. It's what it's saying. He will bring forth the light, meaning the light is lost, and he has to bring it forth again. So the time that he will be bringing forth the light will, you know, obviously mm-hmm. forecast some very dark doom if the light is completely gone, that it needs to be brought forth.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. The next part of the prophecy is one that repeats itself throughout the novels, and I think everyone that listens to the podcast is going to remember specifically this prophecy. Twice and twice shall he be marked. Of course, it should be referring to the marks on his hand or the marks on his arms. Twice to live and twice to die, that's referring to four marks. Once the heron to set his path, twice the heron to name him true, once the dragon for remembrance lost, twice the dragon for the price he must pay. That's the four marks that he ends up with on his hands and on his arms.
Pretty straightforward. Rand repeats it to himself several times throughout the fourth and fifth, and even on a little bit into the sixth book. He just repeats it over and over to himself as if he's finally, you know, if he's kind of creeped out, hey, I see this is coming true. Oh, man.
it's good too.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, it's good too. This is one of the prophecies that it appears first really early in the books, and it takes a few books for the whole thing actually to come to fruition. It just gives you a scope of how deep and how far back Robert Jordan was actually planning the whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially with all these prophecies.
All right, let's move on. Twice dawns the day when his blood is shed. One for mourning, once for birth. Red on black, the dragon's blood stains the rock of Shale Ghul. In the pit of doom shall his blood free men from the shadow.
I was going to say, this is actually the part that I was referring to earlier. As far as blood on the rocks, and the first part earlier was, the quote was, "In his blood shall give us the light," and the quote here, "The dragon's blood stains the rock of Shale Ghul." There's another part, actually, in another, a third reference to it after, that we'll talk about in a little bit. But for this one, the dragon's blood stains the rock of Shale Ghul. There's a lot of people that think that it's actually going to be the blood of his children or his children being born.
That's me.
that's
my camp. I also think it's very interesting that in the pit of doom shall his blood free men from the shadow. He's actually, you know, it could be taken a couple ways there. It's a little ambiguous that it could be actually setting people free who are forced to serve the shadow, or, you know, the generalized sense that he's saving the entire world from the shadow by doing it. Regardless, the place that is going to be happening is in the pit of doom. So that's a little bit of a location and something that has yet to happen. So we can look forward to that in book 12.
I'm sure that everyone will know exactly what that prophecy means in book 12.
Yeah.
There's two other theories as far as the reference to his blood. It could be the blood of the Isle, the dragon's blood, his blood. Because previously in the last prophecy, he will be of the ancient blood and raised by the old blood. It's a reference to blood, so maybe it's actually going to be the blood of both the people from Manathrin and the IL, or my opinion is that it's actually going to be physically, it's going to be his blood, and through his blood is how everyone's going to be saved.
Or it could be all three.
Or it could be all three. You're exactly right.
All right, moving on, we've got another one here. It says, "He shall bind the nine moons to serve him. He will heal the wounds of madness and cutting hope. What chains has he broken, and who has put into chains?
The part about he will bind the nine moons to serve him. I was thinking of this earlier a little bit. He's going to have to bind. Obviously, the nine moons is speaking of. It's probably not speaking. I think it's generally speaking of the Shan Chan. I think it's speaking generally.
I think, I'm actually going to go, I think it's specifically Tuon, because the Shan Chan aren't known as the people of the Nine Moons, I think that there would be a, you know, that if Robert Jordan was going to hint at that, then he would actually specifically name the people of
That's
the Shan Chan, the people of the Nine Moons. I think it's going to be Tuan. And that's going to be a very interesting one because Rand is pretty focused on what he wants to do, and Tuan's pretty stubborn. It's going to be an interesting thing. I'm also curious about he will heal the wounds of madness and cutting hope. What do you think that means?
The wounds of madness, heal the wounds of madness, I think is referring to him cleansing Sidene. Cutting of hope, I have, I'm thinking cutting of hope, wasn't... Ishmael known as the betrayer of hope?
And, ooh, Ishmael, yeah.
And didn't,
right.
In the first book, didn't he cut the cord? Cutting of...
Oh,
it's cutting of hope, not cutting the betrayer of hope, but...
Yeah. Well, I think that was that he did that to... He cut the cords for Asmodian to free him. But I think I see what you're getting at. That's an interesting possibility. See, I actually hadn't thought of the wounds of madness and of cutting hope. See, I thought them sort of together, and I thought it... personally, I thought it could have been him setting Luz Theron free.
Heal the wounds of madness. You know, that's very true.
Yeah, that it could set him free. That's the beauty of it. It's so ambiguous, and we still have so much yet to find out that we don't know.
How about this part? This one, his blood on the rocks of Sheogol. This is the third part that I talked about. His blood on the rocks of Sheogol, washing away the shadow, sacrifice for man's salvation. It's just rehashing the previous two. It's just saying it in a different way. But again, the one constant is that it's referring specifically to his blood.
And this actually just occurred to me, so I'm going to throw it in now, because I just now thought of it. I don't know why. But his blood on the rocks of Sheogol, all of this is saying that all of this stuff is happening in the Pit of Doom. It's not actually happening in the world in which they live. It's happening up where the Dark One is. So it indicates to me that it's going to be an attack, not a defense. You know, it's not going to be, oh, they're invading our land, so we're defending it, we're attacking you. So
well, that's a great point.
It just came to me. So.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's taking place there. It's an attack. It's, yeah, wow, I never thought of that. That's a great observation.
Yeah.
I always assumed that it was going
to
be...
It just came to me.
Yeah, I always assumed it was going to be somewhere else, but wow, that's glaring, isn't it? I wonder how many other people don't realize that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. It's like, wow, all of this stuff is happening there. So, yeah, that's... A very legitimate possibility, and actually with Lan and his, you know, disposition towards going towards evil and taking, you know, his attack towards evil, it actually should be something that, you know, makes sense, corresponds with what we know of him and his going after the Dark One. So, all right, moving on with another little prophecy here. The Dragon Reborn must kneel before the Crystal Throne before Tarmon Gaiden, or all is lost. How do you think that's going to happen?
I definitely think he's going to kneel. I think it was show 4 or 5 that we talked about it. I think that he's going... I think he's at a point right now where he'll do anything. Anything to win the last battle, even if it means kneeling before Tuan, presumably.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a mutually humbling experience, because just knowing Rand and Tuan, I don't think either of them will allow their honor to be slighted. They're just of that way. Of course, I don't think Rand thinks all that much about his honor, but I think that, like I said earlier, he shall bind the Nine Moons. He has to bind her, or the Shan Chan, through her in order to get this, but in order to do it, he has to submit himself, kind of like a little bit of what Moiraine talked about whenever she was in Book 5, when she was talking about how she was trying to get along with Rand, and she was talking with Egwene, and Egwene was like, why are you giving in to him? Why are you listening to him? Can't you see that he's, you know, a jerk, you know, whatever? And she says, I always remember this line, I just remembered how to summon Sidar. You have to submit to it, and that's what she did, and I think that's what he's going to have to learn, and it could be very well what Moiraine teaches him.
What we're actually going to do is we are going to cut part of the podcast short, and the reason why is because we're getting a little long on length, but there is good news. We're going to keep continuing this part, and we're going to call it episode 12B. We do have something a little special set up for week 13, so we're going to call the next one episode 12B. We'll continue the prophecies. Our forum, please go to dragonmount.com, click on forums, and we do have a fourth age forum there. We also have a telephone number to call in and leave voice feedback for Carrie's email question or voice question of the week. That number is 1-888-333-7690.
All right, and don't forget, we will be doing a live broadcast at DragonCon 2006. That's in Atlanta, Georgia. Jason and I will be down there. We'll be recording recording a show there live. Be a lot of fun. We're anxious to see if any of you guys come out and say hi to us. We'd love to see you. So if you're making plans on going, you should stop by, and you'll definitely want to listen to that episode. It'll be a lot of fun.
I hope so. I hope it is going to be a lot of fun.
Also, don't forget, if you'd like to send me any of my crazy theories of the week, we didn't do that because the prophecy section is just too lengthy to squeeze in a crazy theory, but if you have any crazy theories, you can email them to me at podcast@dragonmount.com. I'd love to hear them. That's all we have for this week.
That
so
is.
Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Yes, thanks so much for listening, everyone. Stay tuned to the next episode. We're going to call it episode 12B. We'll have Carrie with us next week, and we'll finish up our discussion on prophecies. And I think Carrie has in the works a few listener feedbacks, voice and email feedbacks. We'll see what she has. Everyone have a great, great night.
Bye-bye.
The Fourth Age Podcast is brought to you by DragonMount.com. For advertising, please email advertising@DragonMount.com. The Fourth Age music is brought to us by Josh Needleman. You can visit his site at www.scriberocks.com. Thank you.